All right, and here we go. Let's do it. So we'll start out with the Elliott Group. We haven't talked about them yet, so let's just dive right into it. Let me make sure that we haven't talked about them. Elliott, nope, I don't see Elliott. Cool. So we had Clemson, the Wookiees, bringing the 77-112 class, replacing the 99-43 class. They lost Benjamin Lenard, and they brought in Florentino McCrory. Woo, that's a hard plays defense, can rebound. He's got some size. So let's see. He didn't start. They actually started Daniel Klein, the junior, part of a 45 7 class. So I think he's got some talent. I mean, he went for 27 and 13. Let's see. Last year he played power forward. So let's see who they put in as the starter. They put in Nicholas Bell, the freshman. Nicholas Bell, 6'1". He played point guard, 11 points, 6 assists, 2.2 steals. So you got a defending, passing point guard that can do all right. He in his first game had 5 assists, 10 points, shot well. This team is pretty solid. They made the PTT last year. Actually, I should look closer. They are not the favorite in this group. The favorite is Bloomington, but they played Worcester. They went fast normal in this game. Yeah, Daniel Klein went off. Frederick Worlds had 18 points on 13 shots, 9 rebounds coming off the bench. So that was big for Clemson in that win. Riley and Aon, 88 Anon, went 5 for 19. So rough game for him. He just had a rough game overall. Worcester did. They did get 17 offensive rebounds, which helped them. They got to the line 21 times, which helped them. But they missed way too many shots. Clemson went 54% from the field, scored 93 points. We'll look at Worcester. Worcester, I think, is the number 3 seed in this. They brought in the 75-94 class, replacing the 102-28 class. And when you lose a guy like Kyle Gold, it's really tough to replace. So they moved Piontowski down to center. They brought Riley Anon into the starting lineup. He did not have a great first game. I talked about that. 5 for 19, 26% from the field. But you look at him in high school, he scored 23 points on pretty efficient shooting. It was probably just a bad game. But he was playing small forward today, and maybe that was a hard fit for him. I'm not sure. He played point guard in high school and maybe not the best assist to turnover ratio, but the guy can put up buckets. So that's something for sure. You look at this team, Worcester, they have Bloomington next, and then they got just a brutal out of conference schedule. Mesa, Rockford, Nashville, and then they go back to Raleigh. It might be a tough tournament for them, but they easily could be any of those teams. They could beat us for sure. They could beat Mesa for sure. Rockford's gonna be tough. Rockford might be the favorite to win this whole thing. So, and Bloomington is no slouch either. Let's actually move on to Bloomington. Bloomington brought in the 203-181 class, replacing the 25-36 class. And they lost two seniors. They lost Freddie Liner and Cameron Elliott. Those are big guys. They did bring in some size. Christian Boone, 14 points on pretty efficient shooting, 10 rebounds. Doesn't look like he's a defensive savant, but he's a solid player. But they still have Gianni Brooker. Gianni Brooker had a horrible game. They did win 56-53. But Brooker just did not play well at all. 17 points on 29 shots. Ryan James made up for it at the power forward position. He couldn't play any of his freshmen, so he brought in Rosato and Schloten into the starting lineup. And those guys did okay, but this just isn't the team they were last year. Yeah, Moody came into the starting lineup too because they lost Benjamin Williams. So they lost three starters from that class. They have some talent, but man, their freshman class just did them no favors. They got the big man, but that's about it. They did sneak by with a win. I'm hoping for better performance. Next game, they got Worcester, Daytona, Macon, Greensboro. So very tough schedule for Bloomington as well, with Daytona and Macon on the other conference schedule. Greensboro is a little easier, but, you know, you look at them. Let's look at Clemson. Clemson has Inglewood, Montpelier, Indianapolis. Maybe not as tough as some of those. Oh, maybe I'm overrating a team like Daytona, who's been very solid the last few years, and his senior James Parker and Blake Perry. But yeah, I mean, right now I think Clemson definitely holds an edge. They won their first game pretty handedly. They have that, so they have a 10-point edge there. Let's talk about Raleigh. Raleigh played incredible defense in this game against Bloomington. Victor Oliver, the freshman, held Gianni Brooker, the senior. Is he a senior? Yep. To, like, just horrible shooting percentages. So, good for him. They brought in that 67-52 class, replacing a 101-115 class, but they did lose three senior starters, although Carl Brennan split time, only playing half his time there. Victor Oliver, he looks like a guy that could score. He at least scored a lot. Doesn't mean he was efficient. Isaac Poe was a little more efficient. And can play defense. So this team's going to really hang their hat on defense. They held just a one seed from last year, really solid team, to 56 points. That's really good. They didn't score enough to win. They were very inefficient too. Victor Oliver went 4 for 20, but that's kind of what happens when you go up against Gianni Brooker. I like Jacob Zimmerman a lot. He's a good player, sophomore. He had 15 rebounds in the first game, 7 points, 2 assists. He's good, but I just think they're a step down from the other three teams. They do have an easier schedule with only Charlotte, Los Angeles, and Scranton. But you got to win this game against Clemson. If they can win this game against Clemson, sure, they have a chance, and they definitely have a chance at the cheesecloth, because the schedule's not incredible, but I just think the other teams are better. I think they're interesting, though, based on how they play defense, how they do that. So, interesting stuff. We will, let's see. Hopefully my live stream's working, I think so. Yep, I think so. Anyway, yeah, so that's where I see it for this. I like Bloomington, but I think Clemson holds the edge here. Worcester could be a sneaky team. You look at their schedule, like I said, it's just really tough. So this game against Bloomington is really important. And if Worcester loses that, I could see them being like regrouping. The hard thing is that, you know, they play such a hard schedule, sometimes it's easy to overreact. Clemson's a really solid team. Bloomington's a really solid team. I'm interested to see how it goes. And can anyone stop Daniel Klein? Right now, I'm giving the edge to Clemson with that schedule. Although Inglewood and Montpelier, Indianapolis, they're no slouches. Every team's got a tough schedule. I could see the winner potentially being 3-3. And if that's the case, why not Raleigh? I mean, they could easily go 3-3 and have a good point differential based on their schedule. But they got to win some games. They got that rivalry game against Los Angeles coming up. So we will see how that goes. Next up, we will talk about the Sherman Group. So Macon, the defending champs, they started off hot. They won by 24 points. Jason Moreno, the sophomore, just really stepped it up, played well. They brought a 128-74 class headlined by Brock Jimenez, replacing a 78-62 class. They only lost Renee Sherman, but Renee Sherman's a really big he's really good. Jimenez is more of a passing, defending swing man in there. But he had good shooting numbers. He shot 54% true shooting in high school, so I like him. But he's definitely not Sherman. So guys like Moreno, Reed, and Thornton are going to have to take a bigger step up this year if they want to compete. They played Garland and they just destroyed them. They destroyed them by 24 points. Moreno had one of the best nights of anyone, 38 points on 24 shots. They held them to 39% shooting. Let's look at Macon's schedule moving forward. They got Clearwater, Sumter, and then they got Bloomington, Carbondale, Duluth. And that Duluth game, I think, could decide the group, but we'll see. I think they should be Clearwater and Sumter. Bloomington's tough. Bloomington's going to be really tough, but Macon's good. I'm excited for that game. I'm excited to see how it plays out. Speaking of Duluth, let's look at Duluth. They brought in the 101-76 class, headlined by Gabriel Washington, Maxwell Fasano, two ties for them. Gabriel Washington went 29 points on 25 shots, so not the most efficient, but that guy can light up. He also had four assists, no turnovers. Jalen Abbott had a monster game, five blocks, four assists, 15 points, 20 rebounds. The guy's a beast. They played Clearwater, won by 16. And Clearwater just didn't have the dogs to keep up with them. Alexander Morrill did not do great. Javon Norris, another big tie, didn't do great. But, you got Jalen Abbott and Gabriel Washington that really carried the water for Duluth. You look at Duluth's schedule, they have Yakima. That's going to be a tough game. Jalen Abbott's got to go up against Deontay Martinez. They should beat Garland pretty handily. Garland's just not the team. Youngstown, they should beat. St. Paul, it's a rivalry game. You never know. And then Macon. So I think Duluth, there's a good chance they're 4-1, maybe 3-2 going into that Macon game, but I think they'll be 4-1. I think they'll split the Yakima and St. Paul games. Yakima, I think, is definitely underrated for sure, even though they're not what they used to be. They lost that first game to Aurora by 3, but I mean, they play defense, and they're gonna make life really hard on Duluth for sure. So I like Duluth. I gotta give the edge to the previous runner up in this group right now, but I think it could go either way. And Duluth having an easier schedule might help them win the group. Just Bloomington Carbondale makes it a little harder, but you know, I think the winner of that last game wins the group. Clearwater brought in the 141-142 class, headlined by Andre Stewart. He had 17 points on 65.6% true shooting. Some, not the size they needed, but they brought in some guys. They only lost one. They lost their point guard, Nicholas Mayberry. Last year, they were a middling PTT team. They might be a little better, might not. Losing a point guard is never easy, especially a guy that the offense runs around so much. However, Ethan Gifford is now playing. He's more of a scoring point guard. He scored 20 points in the first game. So we'll see how that goes. You look at their schedule, they got Macon, Shreveport, Scranton, Inglewood, Garland. So it's not the hardest schedule, but they could win a couple games, but if they start down 0-2, they have to beat Macon. If they start down 0-2, that's a big hill to climb back up, especially with a team like Shreveport next. Inglewood's a solid team too. So that's kind of where I see them. Garland, they're going to have a hard time. They made the NTT last year. It was great for them, but they're not good enough. They got killed by 24 against Macon, and the talent's just not there. Like it's good that they made it and everything like that, but they're in a struggle, I think, in this group for sure. You look at their schedule, they have Boston, Glendale. Those are rivalry games. They could go either way. Biloxi, they could win that one, but I think they're going to start off 0-2. Glendale's better than them, even though it's a rivalry game. Yeah, Clearwater, I mean, I think they could win a game or two, but definitely not compete for the conference, the group title. All right, moving down to the Roberson group. Yeah, Indy, Hershey, Glendale, and Boston. So we just talked about Glendale and Boston as they're playing Garland. But let's start with Indianapolis. Indianapolis has been a solid team the last 4 years. They brought a 165-148 class, replacing a 17-21 class. They lost Lewis Robertson, the group's namesake. They lost Joseph McKnight, Zachary Shelton. Those are solid players. And the guys they brought in just aren't as good. They brought in a little more height than they had last year, but these guys, none of them can score, which is probably fine since they have Kithert and Jason Brown still. Those guys are really solid, but, you know, this team scored 89 points last year. I don't see a way they can keep up with that this year. They only scored 75, but they did play great defense. Mitchell Wall played great. Joseph McKnight entered into the starting lineup. Jason Brown, Cody Kithart moved down to power forward. He didn't do amazing, but you know, these guys held Boston to 54 points, playing really solid. Let's look at Boston real quick. They brought in the 79-89 class, replacing the 174-191 class. So they did lose Nicholas Solomon, but that's not a deal breaker. Bringing in Christian Foster, Jacob True, who can definitely shoot 59.2% true shooting on 21 points per game. They put True in the starting line. They put all three of these guys in the starting lineup. And they're going to have some growing pains trying to figure it out. You got Testament, you got Racine, and then you got these three. They have some talent. We'll see how they can bounce back. Last year, they were a middling PTT team. They have Glendale, Ames, Garland, Idaho Falls, and Hershey. I don't mind the schedule. I think, you know, Glendale's good. They have a lot of talent, but they're new too. So who knows? And that's a rivalry game, so it could go any way. Garland, they probably should win. They should be Idaho Falls, Ames and Hershey. I mean, I see this team being a 3-3 team. You know, I don't see them competing for the cheesecloth, especially after losing by 21 that first game. That sets you back quite a bit. Indy's just better. Indy's just better. So let's look at Glendale, who lost their first game by 8 to Hershey. Like we said, Glendale brought in a big class. Oh man, interesting. James Moore signs with them and he doesn't start him. So he leaves him on the bench, which, you know, I thought, yeah, he's part of a big disparity with the 136-48 class. So you'd think that he'd be getting a little more playing time, but he didn't. He went with his starters from last year. And yeah, so we'll see. I don't know. They lost by 8 to a solid team. Lewis Jackson, you know, you expect a little bit more out of him. Last year, he scored 25 points a game. Yesterday, he went 2-for-11. David Campbell had a really good game. Isaiah Peebles is a stud. So where do you, I mean, well, he was a stud recruit for sure. Last year, he was more of an assist guy. Let me see this guy. In high school, he was at least efficient, and he's been efficient so far. He doesn't let him shoot. He makes him pass. He makes him defend. So that's kind of interesting what Glendale's doing there. You know, he's broken some ties. He's got a lot of talent. Mafucci is a great big man that can defend, rebound, pass. Campbell and Jackson, Benjamin Ferrando. You know, this team has talent. He's just got to figure it out. They lost their first game by 8 to Hershey. They gave up 33 free throws. That's tough. And they couldn't defend. Peebles, who, like, he doesn't let shoot. He gave up 24 points on 16 shots. So that's hard. Lewis Jackson played a little better defense. They just didn't show up. Like, they shot 44%. David Campbell was the only one that showed up. He scored 42, just went off. But it just wasn't enough. So you look at Glendale's schedule. They got Boston, Garland, Las Vegas, Des Moines, Indianapolis. So if they can take care of business against the Boston, Garland in Des Moines, and then split their games against Las Vegas and Indy, they got a really good shot at making it via the Cheese class. They made it last year. They're pretty good. So we'll see. And then Hershey, the last team, they brought in the 59-105 class, replacing the 172-177 class. They lost Antonio Mitchell, but they brought in a 7-1 guy, a 6-11 guy. Wyatt Blackwell, I think, is a stud. He can rebound. He can defend a little bit. They got Dorian Luddington. So they put Wyatt Blackwell and Andrew Mueller as their two bigs. They didn't get a ton of rebounds, but they were fine. You know, they didn't get any steals, but they both got two blocks. And then James Leal, Francis Boone, and Anthony Stevens kind of carried the load for them. They scored 94 points. That's more than enough. I think this team's got some talent. They do have a tough schedule playing Boise and Salt Lake City. Tacoma's no slouch either. Indianapolis, it's going to be tough for them, but they got the first part. They beat a good Glendale team. And Salt Lake City always struggles with his dad. He doesn't – like that's a tough guy to face. So, I mean, that game could go either way. We'll see. I mean, it's a big task for Andrew Mueller to try and defend Hayden Garcia, but we'll see. I like this team. I think they're talented. I think they need to win this Tacoma game, who is solid but not great. They need to win that Boston game, which would give them three wins. And then if they can win one of these three, but even if they do, you go 4-2. I mean, this Indy game's really important, because not only would you give yourself a win, you would give Indy a loss and make it harder for them to get back. I mean, I think they, like I said, Indy's got a tough schedule too. They got Lansing, Clemson, Houston, Glendale, Hershey. I mean, yeah, maybe Glendale sneaks out the win in this group just because of their schedule. I don't know. But Indy's going to be right there. Lansing, they've been ranked high the last few years, but just haven't been that team. Yeah, they haven't been that team that you expect them to be, I guess. So that is, yeah. Yeah, that's that group. I'm going to do the Tipton group too, because why not? So, for the Tipton group, we got New York City, who brought the 25-29 class, replacing the 82-90 class. They did lose Jacob Aruz and Daniel Green, who were really solid, but they brought in some guys that have talent. He's not starting any of them. He's starting all his seniors, and Mavs and Brown and Harris. And Brown went off 30 points on 21 shots. Great performance for him in the first game. Norman Smith did fine off the bench. I like that. In only 17 minutes, he got 9.7 rebounds. So he might have a future starting. Maybe you put him in the starting lineup and bring Jalen Lewis out and make everyone bigger, you know, like you put Kane down at small forward, Harris at power forward, and Norman Smith at center. I'm not sure, but he's got some options. I like this team. They've been building the last couple of years, and they beat a good Fremont team. Well, they beat a good coach. I don't think he likes his team necessarily, but you know, Allen's 73 points on 49% shooting, and really won this game because they made their free throws, they made their three pointers, and they didn't turn it over. They got 7 more offensive rebounds. They got 5 less turnovers. They made one more free throw. They made them when they got there. And they won pretty handedly. A good win for them. I like this New York City team. If you look at their schedule, they have Jefferson City and Albuquerque and Mesa. Mesa's going to be tough. But the other games they should win. I would expect them to be 5-0 or 4-1 if they lose this game to Mesa heading into the Knoxville game. Knoxville's really talented. Maybe Biloxi. Well, let's talk about them a little bit because they brought in 206, 229 class, replacing the 177, 187 class. Didn't lose any starters, brought back everyone, and they came through and they beat a really good Knoxville team. Joshua Beal, 10 of 18, 26. Spencer Diallo, 10 of 13, 21 points. Jordan James had a rough go. He only had 15 and 17. Oh, never mind. 15, 17, and 11. That's not a rough go. I was just expecting more points out of him. Christian Ogle picked that up. But what this game came down to was Biloxi made more threes. They got killed on it, and they didn't turn the ball over. Knoxville turned it over 10 times. I kind of want to see this. So let's see. The Nightmares, let's see. So minute left, Biloxi goes up by 6. Rue hits a 3. Brett Stevens hits a 1. It hits a 2 to pull it within 1. Oh, with 10 seconds left, Julian Nunes shoots a 2 instead of a 3. Biloxi splits the free throw. 7 seconds left. Brett Stevens takes it down. He gets fouled. Jordan James, their star, gets fouled. And he makes the first and misses the second one. He choked with 2 seconds left. And Brett Stevens gets the rebound. And instead of shooting, he passes it back to James. And the clock runs out. Tough loss for Knoxville. But Biloxi, that's a big-time win. Next, they have New York City. Really tough. But after that, the schedule opens up. You got Philly, Joplin, Garland, Fremont. None of those teams are world beaters. Joplin has lost a lot of talent. Garland, like I said, I don't think the talent's there. Philly, they're building, but they're not there yet either. And then Fremont is definitely vulnerable. I could see Biloxi making it. I mean, I don't know if they have the talent, but let's see how they do against New York City. They beat a really good team. Knoxville, they brought that 63-27 class. They put all those guys on the bench. I really like Christian McKenzie, but he only got 5 minutes. He's shot 56.8% from the field last year, 63% true shooting, 23 points. You got to play this guy. I know you have a lot of scorers, but, that's the question. Who do you take out, you got – maybe you take – let's see last year's stats I'm looking at. So he put Rue in the starting lineup. I wouldn't mind taking Rue out of the starting lineup. Could McKenzie play point guard? He has a positive assist to turnover ratio. He's got Jordan James. Brett Stevens is a solid player, so you want him. So you have him, James. Then you have Ogle and maybe Davenport. Davenport's a solid player. Davenport, Rue, I don't know. Like, play one of them. You don't need to play both. But you got to get McKenzie in there. He seems like the perfect small forward shooting guard. This team's good. This team's really good, but they lost 3 seniors and they're trying to figure it out. So they lost a tough game. They have a tough schedule. Oh my goodness. They have 1, 2, and 3. I mean, it's preseason 1, 2, and 3. Reno and Plainview have not lived up to those rankings as of yet, but that's a tough schedule for Knoxville. Let's see how they do. That is not the game I would have expected them to lose to Biloxi, but Biloxi puts themselves in a really good position. Let's look at Fremont. Fremont brought in the 178-201 class, replacing the 66-95 class. They lost Gianni Bright. They lost Jack Cole. A couple of shorties. Irvin Roper played a little bit. A couple of short guys that just those guys are tough to play. Jordan Reclos is a solid player. He scored 27 points. Arturo Montgomery, 20 points, but they didn't have any scoring outside of those guys, and they're a little undersized. So we'll see. They lost by 15. You look at their schedule going forward, Knoxville, Montpelier, Ames, Rochester, Biloxi. Might be a rough tournament. they could beat these guys for sure, but they could beat Ames is a rivalry game. They could beat them. They could beat Billingsley. Rochester, they could beat Montpelier. Montpelier is not like necessarily a great scoring team, but they are a solid team. Knoxville's tough. I mean, most of these games are toss-ups. I don't think they can beat Rochester. And Knoxville's going to be tough. I think Knoxville's really good. We'll see if they figure it out. They are bringing in some new people, so who knows. But I think New York City's is looking good in this region just because of their schedule. But don't count Knoxville and don't count Billingsley. They don't have a crazy schedule, but they also don't have the talent. So, well, I'm interested to see how this game goes in the Tipton group. All right, well, I got to go, but thank you so much for being on. Hopefully you enjoyed this, and we'll talk to you later.